Well, Kimberly Dawn said it's where the rubber hits the road. Well, I think this is a passage that will preach itself, pretty much. This morning, my goal is that you will leave here confident. Confident in Christ, because in this passage you will find four reasons to be very confident in your relationship with Him. But I want to start with baseball trivia this morning. So anyone a big baseball fan out there? I know Andy Anderson is here, so he'll know the answer. I'm putting you on the spot, Andy. Who was the last person in professional baseball to bat over 400? Does anyone remember? Ted Williams. 77 years ago, he batted 406. Ted Williams is known for a lot of things. He has incredible nicknames. Here are just some of the nicknames he has. The Kid, the Splendid Splinter, Teddy Ballgame, the Thumper, and the Greatest Hitter Who Ever Lived. In 1941, 77 years ago, I said, he batted 406. He also hit 37 home runs that year. So he had a lot of power. He just didn't hit those little singles that dribbled through. Now, why am I talking about Ted Williams? Because Ted Williams had an incredible amount of confidence, and he also had an incredible amount of focus. His teammates one time thought they were going to pull a prank on him. And so during batting practice, he was sitting up there hitting balls, and so his teammates took a bunch of firecrackers. They lit him and threw him at his feet. And as they started to go off, Ted Williams didn't even flinch. He just sat there and kept hitting every ball, line drive, as the balls came in. And I don't know about you, but I can never, never do that. I don't have that kind of focus. But it takes an incredible focus and confidence to be successful in hitting a baseball. The reason why I share that with you is because I believe the Christian life should be one of focus and of confidence. And we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at four reasons that we can have confidence. The first one is this: likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for us for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit is with us and in us. Have you ever been to one of those prayer meetings when the people who are praying are so, they can pray such beautiful, poetic prayers that it's almost intimidating? That it's like, I can't pray like that. And so you just remain silent. Well, I want you to leave this morning going, you can pray. You can pray because your prayers are not your own. Your prayers are the Spirit praying through you, with sometimes groanings too deep for words. Prayer has always been one of those things, probably especially because when you have ADHD or that capacity to be distracted like me, that it's a little harder because it's like, dear Lord, please be with, I got to do that thing over here. And you're thinking about everything else. So on Monday nights when we have our corporate prayer time, I often bring a notebook and I sit there and write the whole time. The reason I'm writing in my journal the whole time is so I stay focused. I don't want to lose focus. I want to stay in tune with what we're praying about. But what I've discovered a lot of times when I do that is I'll write down a name and then all of a sudden, another person will pray for that person at the same moment I'm writing down that name. And I'm shocked, and I'm like, man, the Spirit is here. Because we're thinking the same thoughts, and God is directing those prayers. But I wanted you to know that prayer is a powerful thing. And some of us can pray these long, beautiful prayers that are just astounding. And then some of us can only pray this little short phrases And those too are beautiful. In fact, I think of prayer kind of like this picture. You see all these different paintbrushes? They all serve a purpose, don't they? Some are those beautiful broad strokes, and some of those are those finite, small, little lines. All of us are called to pray, but we might pray differently. But it's the Spirit that helps us pray. It's not just ourselves praying, it's God who works through those prayers and is prompting and tugging and pulling us to lift up certain requests, certain intercession for people. We read about this in Romans 8:27. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so, in other words, when we pray and we're working with the Spirit, or the Spirit is working through us, we're actually praying the will of God, which is a pretty astounding thing, don't you think? That I am speaking the will of God as I'm in tune with the Spirit, and he's speaking through me. Pastor Seth shared these two verses, one in the middle of a song, and then he made reference to it in his prayer, which is, again, a sign of the Spirit working. But in Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We don't have to go timidly to God. We can go boldly. For we read this: "This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." One of the reasons we should have confidence as Christians is we know that God is with us and in us, leading and guiding our prayer life. Isn't that something beautiful and wonderful? Our prayers are not our own. They're God speaking through us. The next reason we have confidence is that God is sovereign. God knows all, sees all, and is at work in all. And sovereignty is this big, big word that maybe theologians use, but it's simply that God is God. He rules, he reigns. He is who he says he is, and that he's above us. And we can trust him for that. We read this about his sovereignty. And it's a verse that we often say, but we don't maybe even think about his sovereignty as we say it. And we know that for those who love God, all things, not just some things, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And when we see the word "all things," that means even the bad things, the terrible things, the things we don't even understand, the sufferings that we go through, the untimely deaths that loved ones in our life have faced. All things work together for good. Now, the problem is we human beings kind of want to control God, don't we? We want to dictate to God how he should function as God. But we can't do that, can we? Because then he would cease to be God. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is of the life of Joseph. It's Genesis 37 through 50. If you want to read something this week, just read the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph, in short, this is his story in short. His brothers, out of jealousy, sell him into slavery. Well, in slavery, he becomes a servant, and then Potiphar's wife accuses him of something he hasn't done, so he gets thrown into jail. And then he finally gets out of jail because he can interpret the dream of the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh puts him second in charge of all of Egypt. He's the vice pharaoh, if there was such a thing. And as he's there, he gets the opportunity to seek revenge because his brothers have to return, not once, not twice, but three times, and ask for help. But Joseph understood that God works all things together for good. He realized that God was doing this for a purpose. And this is what we read in Genesis 50:20. "As for you, you meant evil against me," speaking to his brothers, "but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And so the sovereignty of God helped save Joseph's family, helped save the nation of Israel. What if God is working in our tough times to do something that we don't quite understand at this moment in time? What if the good that God is talking about has a bigger purpose than we would ever comprehend in this lifetime, where we will only get to see it on the back end of life in eternity? What if? I often say that I can't wait to get to heaven, because then I get to see the highlight film. Those moments and times when Jesus was working and I was clueless. And he did something in spite of me. What if God in his sovereignty is working? Jim Elliot, most of us have heard of Jim Elliot, the famous missionary that went on to Ecuador and died with four other men. He's famous for saying this. He said, "He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." In other words, he was willing to give up his life because he knew God was sovereign, God was in control, and God could use even his martyrdom for a purpose. And sometimes we have a hard time just making it through the day, trusting God. There's many books written in his life, and go to the library, pick up this book, End of the Spear, or you can borrow mine and read it. It's a book written by the son of another one of the men, Nate Saint, who died in that same time going to Ecuador. But it's a powerful story of how God works all things together for good. The good that God sometimes wants to work out for us, we find in Romans 8:29-30. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." God wants to work through this world to justify us, make us right with him, to sanctify us, to make us more like him, and ultimately glorify us when we are in the presence of Christ. God is not just preparing us to make it through the earthly days. He's preparing us for the glory that lies ahead. Now, the third reason that we should have confidence is this. Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" In other words, God is on our side. Remember in grade school when you picked teams for kickball and you knew that if you got this kid on your team, you knew you were going to win. So you were hoping that you would get the first choice, that you would get to choose Johnny Thunderfoot. Because, wow, he's incredible. Well, God is more incredible than Johnny Thunderfoot, isn't he? You know you're going to win if God is on your side. And yet, sometimes we forget that. Last year, almost 11 months ago or so, Minnehaha Academy had their school suffer a great tragedy. It exploded, you know, a gas leak. And it's funny because President Donna Harris shared the story at the annual meeting. She shared about how she had given the devotion that morning, and it was on this verse in Romans 8:31. And she had played a song, and I don't have the song, but she played the song, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then as she was collecting all of the information, she got her computer back, and she thought, that's never going to work. She opened up her computer, and it started playing that song again. If God is for us, who can be against us? It was like God saying, even this, I'm in this, and I'm with you, and there will be victory. Can we learn to trust God like that, to have confidence and focus that even during those times when it doesn't seem God is there, that He indeed is there? Because God plus me means I'm never in the minority. And that is why we should have confidence. The last thing I want to share about the reason we should have confidence is this. We cannot be separated from the love of God. This is probably that passage that we cling to sometimes in our life that is very special. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, we should have confidence that we are loved. And our security is in knowing that we're loved. I started by talking about Ted Williams, the last man to bat 400 in baseball. I talked about his unbelievable focus and his confidence in his God-given abilities. And you know, each one of us in this room have been given God-given abilities and talents, passions that are to be used for God's purpose and glory. But a lot of times we put too much confidence in our abilities and talents and gifts. Where our confidence ultimately should lie is in the love of God. That He is with us. That He, through His Spirit, is even helping us to understand life. The love of God is almost impossible to comprehend because the loves we experience here on earth are not perfect loves. You can think of people that just exemplify love here on earth in such a unique and special way, but they pale in comparison to the love of God. But I want to share this story, and maybe this will help you. This is a story from Chicken Soup for the Soul, the first edition, by the way. If you want, you can go on eBay. You can buy it for, well, I can't remember what it was, but this is a story about confidence. Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at Stanford Hospital, this is Dan Millman sharing, I got to know a little girl named Lisa who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, yes, I'll do it if it'll save Lisa. As the transfusion progressed, he lay in a bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color return to her cheeks.
Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give all of his blood. Love. Love that was willing to die for his 5-year-old sister. But God had a greater love. A greater love that allowed his son to come to earth, who gave all of his blood for each and every one of us. So if we want to have confidence, we need to have focus. Focus on those 4 things that we talked about this morning. That the Spirit is with us. That all things work together for good. That nothing can separate us from God's love. And that if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Holy Father, we come here this morning as people that some days we have great confidence in you, and some days we have little confidence. We confess that we need better focus so that we can have a greater trust that you are for us, thus nothing in this world really can do any harm to us in the scope of all eternity. And so, Lord, help us to hang on to these truths that indeed you are for us, thus nothing can be against us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.